It is especially during the winter months when there is little by way of food that we're able to see close up some of the birds that happily feed upon the nuts and the bread that is left out for them. Each of them have their individual markings and colorings. Many of the children, or indeed can I say the adults as well, take great delight being able to spot the birds and to be able to name them. I know that was a pastime of our late brother Bobby Brownlow. And he could tell you many a name of many a bird and love to talk about the birds. Of course, there are the various birds which are mentioned in the scriptures. It is, for example, in the book of Job that God reminds Job of the instinct that the great Creator God was to give to the eagle. And the eagle has the ability to soar into the heavenlies. And the eagle has the ability to build its nest on the rock, as well as having the ability to be able to see things a great way off. And in those things, the believer ought to resemble the eagle. For as a child of God, we are those who are built upon the solid rock Christ. And it ought to be our desire to rise above the carnal mind and to dwell in the heights with God, as well as to have that keen vision for the souls of those that are lost and need God's salvation and need to be washed in the Savior's precious blood. What can be said about the eagle, of course, can be said about other birds in the scriptures. There's lessons to be learned from the ostrich. There's lessons to be learned from many another creature that God has created. And that is none more so than when we come into this passage in Genesis chapter 8, which brings us into the ark. Noah was one who found grace in God's sight. And he was to go at the obedience to God's word. And he was to build that ark for the saving of all who would enter into it. And within that ark there were to be two of every sort, the unclean and the clean, the male and the female, as God had commanded. And when the flood was over and destroyed every living creature outside the ark, God was to remember Noah, and God was to remember the animals with him. But just as Noah went into that ark at God's bidding, so he would remain in it, and so he would only leave that ark at God's bidding. But it was after the ark had rested in Arafat, and while the waters were decreasing, that Noah was to send out two birds to see if the waters were yet dried up from the earth. And tonight I want to focus your attention upon the dove and its return, as we find it in the words of verse 9 of this chapter. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. I've just three simple, very simple thoughts to do with the dove tonight. I want you to notice, firstly, her restlessness. You see, that which confronts us foremost with respect to the dove is that she was unable to find rest for the sole of her foot. Now, the dove, when it was in the ark, was not only safe, but it was sheltered, and there was rest found there. I want you to think for a second of the countless numbers of animals which were not in the ark, and they were destroyed from off the face of the earth. And you have it in verse 23 of chapter 7, where it says, "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." The animals in the ark, including the dove, were those who had won for nothing. But when this morning came, when the dove was sent forth, she could find no rest for her foot. We might suggest that this was the case because of the description of this bird. You see, verse 9 brings you to consider the dove. A dove is not a raven, of which you read about, of which Noah was firstly to send forth in verse 7. He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. A raven is that which will eat flesh. A raven is that which makes the miracle of God's provision for Elijah at the brook all the more amazing and all the more wonderful. When we consider that was the ravens which was to bring to God's servants both the meat and the bread for his sustenance twice a day. I say it is more amazing because the raven is known for her eating of the flesh. The God who created them, yet in Elijah's case, could control their very instincts. So much so that no one would have ever suspected anything in looking up and seeing a raven with meat in his beak. Yet God was controlling the instinct of the raven to bring that meat to Elijah to feed him at the brook Cherith. The raven is known for its incessant habit of flying about, looking for that meat to satisfy its keen appetite. And therefore, the raven being sent from the ark, it was to act differently than that of the dove. It was able to go forth. It was able to rest in the highest peaks of the mountains, which were beginning to be uncovered. It was able to feed on the carcasses of flesh that were strewn from the old world, but not so the dove. It found no rest for the sole of its foot. Because it's a dove, it's not a raven. And to further understand that, we can state something of its distinction. You see, the dove is a bird which is known for its harmlessness. It's a bird which takes pride in the beauty of its plumage. It is a bird which will not feed like the raven upon dead flesh. It is that which is conscious in keeping itself clean. It is known for being timid. It's known for having a gentle and an affectionate disposition about it. In other words, it is totally distinctive from the raven and from the other birds. That distinction is to the extent that the raven was considered to be an unclean bird, and therefore unfit by the Levitical law to be eaten. You look over at Leviticus chapter 11. And the words of verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. And you go down and it says, not only after the eagle and the ostrich and the osprey. Come to verse 15, it says, every raven after his kind. The raven was the unclean animal. The raven could not be partook of as meat for flesh, as flesh for eating. There were animals, of course, that could be eaten, still could be eaten today. But no such restriction or definition was placed against the dove. Indeed, the dove in some cases could be offered as a sacrifice in the temple. And it was the doves that were brought as an offering when the Savior was presented by Mary when 8 days of age in the temple. And the significance of Mary bringing and offering those doves was testimony to her poverty. And doesn't that remind us that he who was rich yet became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich? There is the distinctions about the dove. And note also her restlessness was due to her discouragement. She went forth from the ark looking for somewhere to rest her foot. She went forth looking for that which she could feed upon and also somewhere from which she could take shelter in. But alas, the testimony of the scriptures is in verse 9 that she found no rest for the sole of her foot. She was discouraged. And dear soul, as you picture in your mind's eye this dove been sent forth from the shelter and from the safety and from rest, As you picture that dove flying about the new earth and thinking that before her was a place where she could land, only to realize that it was covered with filth and it was covered with mud, then what you have before you in your mind's eye is a type of the sinner, a sinner saved by sovereign grace, and yet a sinner who has wandered from the Lord. There are those tonight, and while their salvation is not in question, for they have dwelt in the only ark in Christ, yet for some reason they are like the silly dove that has gone forth. And there has been a wandering away, and there has been taking to the wing, and tonight finds them away from their rest, and they're cold of heart, and they're soiled in their testimony for God. You see, a backslider is not merely one who's gone back and goes into the pubs down the street. A backslider is not only one that has gone back to the immorality of the old life, or back to the booze, or back to some other thing. A backslider is one who is not going on with God. They're cold of heart. And picture that dove, and it's a picture of you. And I want to tell you that if this is your condition, and if this is your description tonight, then you will never find rest in that where you are seeking it. You see, there was a time in your unsaved days when the old places and the old pleasures would have given you so much satisfaction. And to give you satisfaction because they were the ways and they were the places of sin. But they can never do that again. For while you may have had the ways of a raven once, you are now one whom Christ has given a new nature to. And a distinction to which sets you apart from all the rest of the world. That is, if you're a true backslider. I've got to be very careful here. You see, there's many who speak about backsliders, and they may even consider themselves to be a backslider, and they're not saved in the first place. And that's the danger. If you're away from the Lord tonight, and if you're miserable in being so, that's an indication to me you're a true backslider. But you see, there are those who may call themselves backsliders and they're not miserable. They're happy to go on the way they go day after day. And it may be the root and the matter of grace was never in your soul. And it's not restoration you need. It's regeneration. So we've got to be very careful here. Got to be very careful. But a true backslider is one who's afar off from the Lord. Once they were saved, yes. Once they knew that hard experience of the new birth. Once they tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And as we're looking at Naaman this morning, once you can look back to a time in your life when you're washed in the Savior's blood and you had a change. You weren't the same as before. You sought new company. You loved the place of prayer and God's word that you never did before. And there was a change, a whole change in your life. Because you see, the believer is one who is different from the rest of the world. Has to be. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, you will see something of what God does in salvation, if you're truly saved tonight. You see, Ephesians 2 and verse 2 speaks, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct, our behavior, if you like, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's a picture of the soul that's in their sin. And maybe that's a picture of you to the very pinpoint accuracy tonight. You're still wallowing amongst the company of the world. You're still running after the lusts of the flesh. You're still running after the things of the mind. And you still are by nature the children of wrath. You're never saved. But you see, Paul here is not speaking to the unconverted. He's speaking to the child of God. For verse 4, you have one of those great words, but. That's what you were. But he says now, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 13. But now, he's speaking about the child of God now. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And those words identify the true child of God, and they identify what we were before we were without Christ in our sin, and they identify what God in Christ has done for us. And that being so, if you're truly saved tonight, you are forever spoiled for the world. And its filth and its mire do not go well with your soul. And whatever you put your hand to, and whatever you would seek after, there is no rest for the sole of your foot. Why? Because you've tasted, and you've seen that the Lord indeed is good, and the world is no satisfaction anymore. You may have thought that you would be satisfied again by wandering off. But the world and its pleasures seem empty to you. And there's a hollow sham about them. Oh, it's not that they have changed. But the grace of God has reached you. Has caused you to be changed. That's the difference. You have that different nature now that this world can never satisfy. For if God has saved you, and God has chosen you to be His, and He has put His Spirit within you, then you will always be restless in this world. And tonight you are one who is disappointed, and you're discouraged, for like the dove in my text, you are one who cannot find rest again for the sole of your foot, and you've wandered away from your best love, and you've wandered away from the Lord, and you can't find sustenance for your soul. In fact, maybe you're one who is weary in your flight. I've good news for you. You see, the Lord stated one day, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Is there restlessness about your soul tonight? Maybe like the dove, you've wandered away. You're away from the Lord. Let me show you secondly here, her return. You see, with the dove unable to find rest for her foot in the world, what did she do? We read that she was to make her return, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. It may have been that she was tainted with the filth in the earth. It may have been that her wings were wet with the waters that were still upon the face of the earth. But in that state, she was to make her return. It wasn't a case of seeking to clean her wings. It wasn't a case of seeking to attempt to remove the filth before she returned. No, the dove returned just as she was. Dear soul, cold of heart and backslidden of soul, that is the way in which you are to return to your first love. There are those who will make attempts at trying to clean up their life first. But every moment that there is a waiting and a hesitating in returning only but increases the misery for the soul that is away from the Lord. You see, the Lord says in Jeremiah through His prophet, chapter 3 and verse 22, He says, "Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." It doesn't say, "Return ye repentant children, return ye consecrated children." No, it says the backsliding children, and the backslider in knowing and in feeling the misery in their soul is called to return just as they are. That's the mercy of God. Just as they are. The dove, having found no rest, she was to catch sight again of that ark. And she knew that therein was to be found rest and a place of safety. And so on weary wing, she was to make her way back. And we can only suggest that having tried all the day long to find rest, that she would have made the most direct line back to the ark. And I would that you, dear wandering loved one, tonight would get a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. I'm not asking that you get a fresh glimpse of the church of the denomination. I'm not asking that you get a fresh glimpse of the prayer meeting room. I'm asking to get a fresh glimpse of Christ. That's what you need. You see, I think of Peter. And Peter was one who was prepared to die for the Lord if need be. But you see, when the great time of trial and temptation came to Peter, he failed miserably. He failed in denying the Lord with oaths and with curses. And we read that it was when the cock was to crow. If you turn to Luke chapter 22, you'll find what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 22 and the verse 61. It was when the cock was to crow that the Savior turned and the Savior looked upon Peter. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said unto him, "Behold, the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Oh, what a look that proved to be to Peter. It was a look which was enough for him to recall the word of the Savior to his heart. It was a look which caused him to realize that he had sinned. His eye was to catch a fresh glimpse of the eye of Christ. And you read the next verse, it says, "And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly for what he had done." That's what the look of Christ did to Peter's heart. Peter got a fresh glimpse of the Savior. And dear friend, if only by the power of God's Spirit you were to remember afresh the Word of God to your soul, the Word maybe that came with freshness to your heart the night you were saved. God was to write that verse again upon your heart tonight. You were to get a fresh glimpse of the Savior's sacrificial love that meant Him laying down His life on the cross that your soul might find rest and peace in believing. If only you were to catch a fresh glimpse of Christ, the one who loved you even unto the end of dying on that cross, that you might be saved from the coming storm of God's wrath. If only you were to catch a fresh sight of Christ, then you would realize just how foolish you have been in wandering away from the Savior and trying again to find satisfaction in the old places of this world. A fresh look to Christ tonight will be enough to cause you to see your sin. And it'll make the difference in your heart. Was that not so with the prodigal son who went afar off to the far country? It was there in the far country that he sought to find rest, and he sought to find pleasure, and he sought to find satisfaction for his soul, but you know it all proved to mock him. Until he was brought to that very lowest place in amongst the very swine of the country. And it was just then, in the words of Luke chapter 15, it was then like the dove afar off and famished in his soul with no food. It was then that the prodigal was to begin to get a fresh glimpse of the Father's house and the blessings that could be enjoyed there. You see, I read in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." And he's got a fresh glimpse of the Father's house again. "I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father," you see, he recognized his sin. "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Dear, see one that's afar off tonight, emphasized before you in those words in Luke 15, is the fact that your soul can never be fed and your soul can never be satisfied by the husks of this world. But not only that, but it was when he began to recall the Father's house that he realized how foolish and he realized how sinful he had been. Did that prodigal son, did he get up from feeding the swine? Did he go and buy a new suit? Did he seek to clean up his life first? No. But just like the dove, he made his way to the Father's house just as he was. You come just as you are back to the Lord tonight. Just as you are. You see, I want you to consider with the dove that her return was timely. We have every reason to suggest, if you look at our passage, that Noah in the ark, and bear in mind this is before Exodus chapter 20 where the tables of the commandments were given. But we have every reason to suggest that Noah in that ark was a man who kept the Sabbath day. He kept the commandments. You will notice with me that in the process of sending out the dove, that he did so at an interval of 7 days. Verse 10. "And he stayed yet other 7 days." And again he sent forth the dove. Verse 12. "And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove." Every seventh day the Noah sends out the bird. He's a man who has respect for the Sabbath day. And he's a man who looks for the blessings of the Sabbath. And if what we glean from the words of verse 11, the dove was sent not only forth in the morning of that day, but her return was to be in the evening. And we can state her return was something which was timely. It was timely. But what about you? The word of the Lord has gone forth to your heart many a Sabbath morning and many a Sabbath evening. And God has preserved you, and God has enabled you again to hear the word to your soul. And you know that things are not what they used to be between you and the Lord. And you don't have the sense of the Lord's presence with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, aye, even Sunday. Your experience with the Lord is one which is in the past. It was once well with you. It was once well with you in the place of prayer. It was once well with you in the study of God's Word. It was once well with you speaking to others about the Lord. But tonight, it's not what it used to be. I wonder, is this Sabbath evening going to find a timely return for some wandering saint of the Lord? There's rest for you yet. There is a refuge. But what only will be realized when you return to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and your first love. Will you return just now? You know, God says, "I am married to the backslider." There's a load of nonsense out in this land by some preachers who say the Lord is not married to the backslider. And once you fall from into sin, you're lost. It's a doctrine of the pit. It's not what I read in God's Word. You might have wandered away. You might have flown away from the Lord, as it were. You might have forgotten about the Lord. The Lord never forgets His child. He's a heavenly Father. He's a merciful Father. And He's looking for your return tonight. Let me show you finally here her reception. The closing words speak something of the beautiful picture that was witnessed when the dove was to make her return. Verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. You'll notice there that Noah was waiting for her. He had been at the window. For it was from the window that she went forth. And he had been at the window looking out for her all day. And the place where she had left the ark was the place where Noah was found waiting for her return. And Noah was just like the father of the prodigal son, who saw his son coming afar off. And so it was with old Noah. His dove was returning to his rest. For that is the meaning of Noah. It means rest. She was returning to the refuge in the ark, and because Noah cared, and because Noah loved her, that is why he's waiting for her return. And my dear friend, so it is with the Lord. You see, his love for his people is not like the love of men and women. The love of men and women is so fickle. It goes up and down, but the love of Christ is eternal. It's an everlasting love. It is a love which longs not only to find the sheep that are lost and goes after the sheep until they're found, but it's a love which also seeks the wandering ones from the fold. And it is the place where you left off with the Lord that He waits, and to where you must return to Him in repentance. There her reception was one which found Noah waiting. And what's more, her reception was one which was welcoming. For not only did Noah wait, but he was to put forth his hand and he was to take her. You see, it didn't matter that she was wet. It didn't matter that she was covered with the filth and the dirt of the earth. That hand of Noah was still welcoming. And it didn't turn her away. And that hand didn't deny the dove access again into that ark. And dear friend, God waits to be gracious to you as well. His powerful hand is able to reach you where you are. His precious blood is able to cleanse you again from your backslidings. And He's able to cause you to be in a right standing with God and to be walking with God again. He will welcome you back unto Himself. And the Lord is able to restore unto you the years, maybe the years that the locust has indeed eaten. With outstretched hand, the Lord is able to draw His wandering dove back unto Himself. You see, the reception which this dove received was one which was complete. Look at the words of verse 9. He took her and pulled her in unto Him into the ark. And the scene is one of Noah leaning out and leaning forth. And he's laying hold upon the weary dove. And he's embracing her tenderly. And he's embracing her lovingly. And embracing her, he draws her in unto Himself. What a blessing for the soul tonight who will know the gospel again embracing them. And the Savior laying hold upon them afresh. And again, you know what it is to have those everlasting and those loving arms of the Savior underneath and around about you. And that one tonight who has become weary with being afar off from the Lord. Oh, that they would know His hand laying hold upon them. And that day you would know the Lord pulling you unto Himself again. You see, her reception was complete. It was right back into the ark. Right back into it. And so it can be for the backslider this evening. You can again know the blessing and the reality of that union in Christ, which the Savior has purchased on the cross of Calvary for a sinner like you. That's the welcome that awaits the soul who has wandered away. And the call that is heard from the ark, Christ Jesus, tonight to your heart is this: return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You have wandered away, yet the Lord has dealt bountifully with you in mercy. He's drawing you back by the everlasting cords of love tonight. He's drawing you back onto your first love. And if you're a true backslider, you'll not be happy until you get back with the Lord. Back with Him. Walking with Him. Or can I say, the word to your heart tonight is in the words of Song of Songs, chapter 2, in verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Is that what the Lord's saying to you? He hasn't saw your face for a while. Hasn't heard your voice. The cry to your heart tonight is, O my dove, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Come back to your first love. Maybe you're not saved. You've never been to Christ. You've never washed in the precious blood. Will you not seek the only refuge for your soul this evening? Will you not go out from this church saved, washed in the precious blood, and knowing it is well with your soul, and you're resting in Christ and the finished work of Calvary's cross? Will you come tonight? May God bring you by His grace. May God help you to come. And may God be pleased to bring the backslider, you who are cold of heart, back to Himself this evening. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please.